And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. So I'm talking about the enemy of my enemy, or the enemy of my political enemy could be my friend. Are there times when politics gets set aside and people who don't normally work together will work together against another political, I'm talking about just a political, another political, you know, figure or issue because they recognize the greater good? Liberals struggle with that. Right now, liberals are so polarized and entrenched in what I would call dogma and the hate Trump and the Trump derangement syndrome, which I have a whole dipper on I'm not going to get to today, I'm sure. But I look at it and think, can they even bridge the gaps anymore? We were just talking off the air a minute ago. So I just saw that David Axelrod, you know, Clinton advisor, old school Democrat, has never recanted his positions on, you know, core Democrat, whatever the policies and practicalities are. But David Axelrod just recently, I think today actually, has been doing the rounds of interviews, and he said Democrats need to start reaching out to Trump and saying, we'll take the National Guard and get the crime cleaned up in your city while you can, because it's gonna be an issue. And he also said it just makes sense. So if he's offering you help, why would you not take it? That's an amazing moment right there. That is a absolute political opponent lining up with a, you know, political opponent, Trump, Axelrod, and saying, there's something we might need to do together. And it just makes sense. And people like J.B. Pritzker and Brandon Johnson cannot get it through their thick heads that maybe it's about saving lives. But the difference comes down too often when you see the principal divide. When you have big government Democrats actually saying that they believe that government is the end-all, be-all, they will never accept that their version of running it is wrong. There was a classic discussion about core principles just, I think, was it yesterday? When did this come out? Was it yesterday afternoon?
It was yesterday, yeah.
It was yesterday. Senator Ted Cruz responding to Senator Tim Kaine. Tim Kaine being the Democrat from, I believe, South Carolina. Ted Cruz, of course, the Republican from Texas. We got a sound clip of this. It's worth hearing. If you're listening close, it's going to set you on edge. Play it.
The notion that rights don't come from laws and don't come from the government, but come from the creator, that's what the Iranian government believes.
Wow.
So the statement that our rights do not come from our laws or our governments is extremely troubling.
So wow. Senator Kaine said in this hearing that he found it a radical and dangerous notion that you would say our rights came from God and not from government. I just walked into the hearing as he was saying that, and I almost fell out of my chair. Because that radical and dangerous notion, in his words, is literally the founding principle upon which the United States of America was created. Yep. And if you do not believe me, and you made reference to this, Mr. Barnes, then you can believe perhaps the most prominent Virginian to ever serve, Thomas Jefferson, who wrote in the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident. Mm.
Yes.
That all men are created equal. And that they are endowed by their creator. Not by government, not by the Democratic National Committee, but by God.
I mean, the level of principle divide right there. You got Tim Kaine literally saying, if you believe that rights are naturally endowed by God, then that's what the Iranians say, he said. That was his words. That's what the Iranian government says. We're not the Iranian government. And secondly, the Iranian government does not extend rights to its people at all. They police what you're allowed to wear. And he got schooled hard by Ted Cruz on that. You reacted pretty hard to that clip.
I mean, it makes my blood boil, because I can you imagine if our founding fathers would have known that something like that would be spewed from a senator in 2025. Like, that is so embarrassing. And my personal reaction to it is, you know, the Democratic Party has been trying to play into this flash in the pan of, like, woke ideologies across the board. And one of them in particular is trying to make America no longer a Christian nation.
Yeah.
Like, that the pillars of our nation are not based in Christianity. And I know as a Gen Zer that my generation is completely turning against that. Like, Gen Z, if you look at the stats, is becoming the most Christian generation alive right now. Like, you look at the stats of them going back to church, specifically Catholicism is booming right now. And I can't wait until my generation gets to, you know, a position where they can hold power, because Tim Kaine is trying to be cute and, like, he knows better than that. He's trying to flirt with his base and his woke ideologies that his party is, you know, trying to spew. But like I said, it's a flash in the pan, and my generation that's coming up knows that how ridiculous it is, and they want to go back to being a Christian nation like that. So I think that he knows better, and the way he even said it, he's trying to smirk and be funny. It's not funny, and it's not gonna work. America's a Christian nation.
I would agree with that, and I think what it also demonstrated is that Tim Kaine from I said South Carolina, I think he's from Virginia.
He's from Virginia, yeah.
But Tim Kaine was clearly showing that we have this massive divide so often between Republicans and Democrats. And I want to talk in a minute about, are there times when you can get something done together? And when I say that, I'm not talking about, well, we found bipartisanship on whether we should pass that bill. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, like, seeing something out there, and it'd be unpopular to say it, but, you know, you just got to go ahead and throw in on this, because, like, what I tell you what we've been seeing on this is, oh gosh, I just forgot his name. What's the big guy who had the speech, had the stroke, and he's now a senator?
John Fetterman.
Thank you, John Fetterman. John Fetterman has been willing to say the things his party does not want to say.
He's a common sense Democrat.
And that's rare.
They agree on domestic stuff, like maybe taxes or whatever, but they don't think that our nation should be flooded with immigrants that are illegal immigrants. And, you know,
it's okay to say pro-Israel.
Yeah, like it's an old school Democrat.
It's like what David Axelrod did today. Mm-hmm. Unpopular with the base, but it had to be said. It was like what Tulsi Gabbard did, and then they ran her out of the party. And guess what? She's a dynamic member of the Trump team right now.
RFK.
So we got a situation right now brewing. Yeah, RFK. We got a situation brewing right now in New York City. And there's a lot of talk about whether or not there might be some synergies between Republicans and Democrats to stop Mondani from being the communist who runs the biggest city in the nation. I'll tell you all about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the Southeast, U.S. Hey, y'all, I'm talking about this show. This one, whew, I mean, goes like from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn. Straight across the line from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning, and then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio. And then there's all y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web and live streaming the show, live streaming, like with camera. You can watch inside the studio, and we're on X, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then, oh, by the way, there's all y'all who podcast it and catch it after the fact, and we appreciate you. I'm saying all that to say, I say it every time, it's not just a little jingle or a mantra. What it is me identifying the fact that we know where you guys are seeing the show, and no matter where you're picking it up, it means the world to us that you do. Thank you very much, Right Side Ruffians, for being a part of our lives. Quick, with a text, real quick, Jeff from Indiana corrected me a while, or made sure I knew it was Master Blaster. That's right, the guy who Master Blaster was the little guy who ran the methane plant in the basements of the city.
Master Blaster.
Master was the midget, and the big giant guy with the helmet on that carried him around was called Blaster.
Oh, that's funny.
It was quite the pair. John from Harvest said, Grown Ups is a Chris Rock, Kevin James, David Spade, yes, and a few others.
There you go.
That's quite the crew.
It was a great, it was a good movie.
I like Kevin James.
Kevin James is good.
Joe from Tennessee, Tim Kaine from Virginia. Yes, he was. He was Billary's VP candidate. I'd forgotten about that.
I did too.
I'd totally. You know, that's like we're going to forget about Tim Walz for too long.
Who?
Yeah. Dave from Capshaw sent you something from Billy Graham's magazine. So there you go. I don't know what it is, but you can check it out.
It says this Billy Graham article makes the case about Gen Z millennials coming back to church and even surpassing older generations. Cool.
All right, let's talk about the enemy, my political enemy. So, I mean, I've got a piece here from Axios. Axios. Phil, did you go to Axios? I did. I go to these places so you don't have to. I hold it right here in my calloused former paratrooper hands. Axios points out where homicide rates are the highest are oftentimes blue cities and red states. Think about it. A blue city and a red state, that's a holdout spot. A blue city in a red state is a city that has already decided that it is against its own, you know, state politics, its own state culture. It's basically, it's become a sort of a festering spot in the otherwise broader narrative. That was a festering spot in an otherwise broad narrative. Write that down.
It's true.
Axios says 13 of the 20 U.S. cities with the highest murder rates were in Republican-run states, but they were run by Democrats. Axios being truthful here. A study of FBI data finds the nation's homicide rate dropped to 5 per 100,000, a rate not seen since the Obama era when overall violent crime rates were hovering near 30-year lows, but many cities with high murder rates saw declines in homicides. Still, nonetheless, we are watching how like 8 of the top 10 cities with high murder rates and populations of at least 100,000 were in red states like Mississippi, Alabama, Missouri, Tennessee, Ohio, Louisiana. I mean, we're talking about Jackson, Mississippi. They in the article, they named Jackson, Mississippi. Then they named Birmingham, Alabama. Second highest homicide rate. By the way, this article came out 3 weeks ago.
Wait. I thought Whitfin was taking a victory lap, like crime homicide was going down.
Well, we're pretty sure Woodfin's been cooking the books. By the way, then it's St. Louis, then it's Memphis, Tennessee. So what we're looking at here is blue cities, red states even, but blue cities, we're watching them run them into the ground. What can we do about it? Well, you know, Caroline Leavitt, red state's got a piece. Caroline Leavitt, press secretary for President Trump, she basically excoriated these, what she calls crime deniers in the dim-run cities. Said, you need to come back to reality. Your leaders are lying to you. And I agree. I think they are. She says, this is our message to Americans in Democrat-run cities nationwide. Decline is a choice. You don't have to live in constant fear of being robbed, raped, or murdered. Your leaders are lying to you, and they've been failing you for decades. But we just watched Woodfin get an overwhelming landslide victory. You know why? Because everybody who would dare to vote against him has fled the city. So I got to thinking about that. What do we do about it? And then I ran across this article, townhall.com, Dateline today. Townhall.com, here's a headline that'll grab your attention. It says, is this how a communist Muslim can be stopped from taking over New York City? Pray tell, what are we talking about? What we're talking about is what I said a moment ago. Can the enemy of my political enemy be my friend? Can Republicans actually work with blue state or blue city politicos to keep Mondani from getting elected? That's the question that this article generated. And believe it or not, there's actually discussion right now. And what they're saying is, well, we're not going to find a good candidate. It's too late. The primaries are over. It's too late to get in the race according to their laws. So what do we do? Well, the thing to do right now, they believe, is to reduce the split up of the vote. The split up of the vote between Eric Adams, Curtis Sliwa, who's not going to get elected as a Republican, Andrew Cuomo, and Zoran Mondani, those other three are splitting up the anti-Mondani vote. The question is, can we get a few of them to drop out? Who do we get to drop out first? The whole article deals in townhall.com here with Eric Adams. Eric Adams is polling in fourth place right now. He's the current mayor. He's actually been helpful on immigration issues of late. He had a turning around moment.
Common sense Democrat
To a certain extent. He's a former law enforcement guy himself, a police captain in the NYPD. Believe it or not, top White House officials, according to this article, are in talks over giving a potential job like an ambassadorship to Eric Adams as a golden parachute for him to drop out of the race and hopefully throw more of the vote behind what they believe would be the best case scenario would be Andrew Cuomo, who was closest to Mondani in the polls.
I actually saw one poll where Cuomo was beating Mondani. So yeah, I think Cuomo is the best bet.
I think Cuomo is the only one, and I hate to say it, I don't like Andrew Cuomo. I think he's a thug. I think he's just a cheesy guy. I mean, I look at him and think he was the kind of guy that as a governor, you almost felt like he buried people in the backyard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna make you an offer you can't refuse, and oh, okay, leave the cannoli. And oh, that guy. But at the same time, Zohran Mamdani, I think, is dangerous. And what's happening is right now, even other Democrats are beginning to realize how dangerous he is.
Yeah.
So the conversations right now, according to the article, are about what it calls a potential plum gig for Adams, including a possible ambassadorship, being talked about among high-level Trump officials as polling shows Mayor Eric Adams in fourth place as we approach the November election. If Adams landed the job in the Trump administration, it would arguably benefit former Governor Andrew Cuomo, who's increasingly being seen as the best anti-Mondani candidate in a head-to-head race. This, by the way, the article finishes up by saying, there are enough, he calls them normies. There are enough normies, like the normal people.
Yeah.
There are enough normies to stop Mondani, but not if the field remains like this. Someone's got to have a come-to-Jesus moment, is what it says. They did have an independent in the race. He got out today. So the independent in the race is now out of the way. The question is, will Curtis Sliwa make a difference? I don't know. I don't think so. If there's a Republican voting, they'll vote straight ticket and he'll get it. But Eric Adams, if he drops out of the race, the question is, can he provide enough of a boost to the anti-Mondanis for Cuomo to take it to the House?
I think there were a lot of people that did not vote in the primaries and saw, wait, Mamdani actually won the Democratic primary. And they go, you guys can't be serious, right?
Well, they're serious.
And so now they're going to actually jump in and vote. I hope that's the case. But look, I do agree. I think it's Cuomo, unfortunately, is the best bet.
Look who's running to meet with him. Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
You got, you know, he's
AOC is his biggest fan.
AOC is one of his biggest fans. And Elizabeth Warren's been over there campaigning with him. I mean, you've got the most radical members of the House that are running to be, you know, lackeys to Mondani. They see him as the wave of the future. The guy is an actual communist Muslim. I didn't know you could have communist Muslims, but he is. He's a communist Muslim.
And black, apparently, too.
Is he black?
Remember, he put on his college.
Oh, that's right.
He's African-American.
So he's a chameleon. He'll do whatever it takes.
Yes, he'll do whatever he needs to do.
The guy's got all kinds of ideas, like he's going to tax the white neighborhoods. He says that. I'm going to tax the white neighborhoods. I'm going to have you know, government run grocery stores. We're going to do price fixing. We're going to force people out of their homes to make sure that we have he actually talked about taking parks and turning them into low rent housing. I mean, the guy is looking at how best can I destroy New York City. So, can you have a situation where the enemy of your political enemy becomes your friend? Well, the question right now is the Trump administration about to give Eric Adams a plum opportunity, a golden parachute, if you will, in order to leave the race to help boost the other Democrat who they can't stand, Andrew Cuomo, generally speaking, to get him to beat Mondani? Listen, you can't make this stuff up, but this is like House of Cards right here, man. That's what this is. This is House of Cards. This is angling. This is backroom dealing. But what you're also looking at is, can the enemy of my political enemy be my friend? That is, it's crazy talk, but there it is. That's how dangerous Mondani is, in my opinion. I got a phone call real quick. I'll take it right before the break. I think it's on a different topic, which is why I kept talking for a minute, but I got about 2 minutes. Robert from Athens. Hey, Robert, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good, sir. What's on your mind?
I was listening to the Butters and Lee.
Yeah,
that's something. If the governor of that state wants the National Guard to help, fine, totally fine. He's not going against the people of the state. He's helping the people of the state. I don't understand the other guy's view on that. I'm with Butters, I guess, the lady.
Lee from Huntsville is the lady, and Butters is the guy.
Okay, yeah. I'm with Lee on that point of view. But these mayors of these blue cities.
Yeah.
I believe they ought to be looked at pretty close on their bank accounts. Because if you're allowing all this, you know, corruption and crime going on in your cities, there's bound to be some money floating around in there somewhere. And as for the dude in New York, they just, you know, I don't see how he could be even allowed to take the oath of office being a communist.
Well, I think we're going to watch that thing real closely because some call it a bellwether, some call it an accident, but I say it's going to be destruction of New York City if we're not careful.
Well, maybe for a little while it'll go on, but I believe somebody will either stand up and just recall and take him out, whatever. Because that right there, just, that doesn't need to happen. Any communist should, there shouldn't be a communist sympathizer in any of our states.
Well, let's hope he doesn't get elected. That'd be rough stuff. Got to go to our break, man. Robert, thanks for the call. Thanks for holding on the line. Yeah, it's going to be dicey. I mean, but you know what, though? Elections have consequences. I just hope we don't have to let them see the consequences of a Mondani mayorship. Take me to a break there, JP. We'll take that break. We'll come right back, wrapping up the day here on Thankful Thursday. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.